What's going down, everybody? It's your boy Jason here. Welcome back to another episode of Jason's World. Over here smoking a backwood. Just gonna talk about a few things here that are on my mind that I've seen world of sports, just in the world. I'm gonna go ahead and start with the sports here. Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff going on here. I'm gonna tackle a little bit of baseball here. The Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes. Now, my whole position on Shohei Ohtani is, should the Angels trade him now, or should he wait and then go into free agency in 2024, having the pick of the litter of whatever team he wants to go to? Me being out here from the Bay Area, there's no other team I would love to trade for Shohei more than the San Francisco Giants. My reasoning is mostly because of the pitching. He brings a dynamic in that lineup that we haven't seen in a very long time. The Giants haven't had that slugger that since Barry Bonds, in my opinion. Yes, we've had the Pablo Sandovals, we've had the Buster Posey's, and we've had the Jock Petersons now, but we haven't had that 40 plus home run hitters since Barry Bonds. Now people can say what they want. He took steroids, it made him hit the ball a bit farther. It made him catch that fly ball in left field. It made him get there just a bit quicker. My only argument to that is you still have to be able to get in that spot and you still have to be able to hit the ball. I mean, it's not like he's hitting 40 mile. It wasn't like he was hitting 40 mile per hour fastballs back in the early two, like late 1990s and early 2000s when he was winning those MVPs and all that. I believe if the Giants were smart, they wait until 2024 and they go get Shohei Ohtani because I believe they can offer what a lot of teams won't. And what a lot of players are looking for now is image rights. How much percentage of the image rights can they keep in certain deals? If you look at the Kylian Mbappe deal, right? Him going to Saudi Arabia for which could go up to about $1.1 billion, right? This guy can be a billionaire by the time he's 26, 27 years old, and he can still go to the team that he wants to next summer, which is Real Madrid. But to get back to the Shohei Ohtani angle, if you look at the standings right now in the American League, the Angels are 6.5 games out of first place in the AL West. They're about 5.5 back of Houston. They're 52-49. Now, if you take Shohei off of that team, they're basically a team that is going to be winning you 70 to 75 games a year. Even with Mike Trout in there, they haven't been to the playoffs since 2014. And even then, I believe they got swept by Kansas City. So this is my thing. Who are the Angels? Do the Angels want to lose him for free or do they want to trade him? My gut feeling is they're going to trade him at the trade deadline to who? If the Giants go out there and they make a trade for him, would you put them favorites in the National League over Atlanta, over the Dodgers, even though it pains me to say that, over Milwaukee, over Cincinnati, over Arizona? Are we picking the San Francisco Giants with Shohei Ohtani to win the National League? I believe they have as good a chance of anybody if they were to go get him because you're adding him to that rotation too. Alex Cobb is having an All-star season. Logan Webb is still the ace of that staff, but if you get Shohei Ohtani, there might be a conversation there on who the ace is, really. You have an all-star closer. Their lineup right now. See, the problem with the San Francisco Giants, and I was talking to some friends about this. It's like the Giants look like that team that can win 7, 8 in a row and then go lose 6 in a row. And that's what worries me about them possibly getting into the postseason. Like, Are they going to be consistent enough, and are they going to actually be on fire at that point in the season? Because the Giants can still win that NL West. I don't think it's over. I still think San Diego will somewhat creep up, but they're 49 and 53. The way that I see it, three teams out of the National League West are going to the postseason. I believe one team out of the NL Central is going, and I believe the Braves are gonna go. But if you look at the wild card standings, I mean, you have Cincinnati, you have Arizona, you have San Francisco, you have Philadelphia, you have Miami, and all those teams are within, I would say, a game of each other. Well, what are we looking at here? San Francisco, I believe their best shot at winning a World Series this year is they need to win that NL West and avoid playing any of these wild card teams that they would possibly be playing in the wild card round. Because you saw the 100-win Mets lose to the San Diego Padres when you spend over 300 million, 400 million, and you have the highest payroll in baseball, and you're going out in the wild card round. Who are we really pointing the fingers at? The players or the ownership? I think it's a combination of both. You're spending the money because you're thinking that you're signing up for what they're supposed to produce. And the Mets, honestly, are so underwhelming for a team that has the highest payroll in baseball and be 7 games out of the third wild card spot. And to be 17 and a half games back of the Atlanta Braves, a team that you blew the NL East lead to because they swept you guys in, I believe, New York. Point being, whoever gets Shohei Ohtani, if he's traded at the trade deadline, might be the World Series favorites. And if you say he goes to Texas, he goes to LA, he goes to God forbid he goes to the Yankees or whatever, which the Yankees have their own issues. I mean, if there's no Aaron Judge, there's no party out there in the Big Apple. I'll just say that now. But where do I think he ultimately goes? I'm going to say this because I'm a homer. I believe the Giants will be making a trade for Shohei Ohtani, and they will be able to re-sign him in 2024, which will start to carry on. What can they do in 2024? Hopefully, they're in the postseason and they can make a run at the World Series, because I believe once you're in, any team can win it. It don't matter if you win 84 games and you're the wild card team. We've seen wild card teams get to the postseason and win the World Series, a la the San Francisco Giants in 2014. So that's my thoughts on the Shohei Ohtani thing. I think he will end up at San Francisco Giant because I believe that we'll just offer him two. The fact that we didn't get Carlos Correa, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise. I believe the Giants have the money and the cap space to get this guy signed 5, 6 years, but you offer him like about 300 million, 400 million, because Shohei Ohtani is gonna be worth that, and he's gonna command that because of what he's able to do on the mound and what he's able to do at the plate. Switching gears here over to the Kylian Mbappe saga. Let me just say this. I don't think he's going to accept. I think he's going to want to stay in Paris. And I do believe the French Football Federation will get involved and they will sue PSG for having him on the bench. Because I do believe he has a deal in place with Madrid in 2024. But I'll be honest, he'd be crazy to not take that 1.1 billion as a possible salary for the year. Like he said, His family would be set for the next 5 or 6 generations if he takes that deal. 100% of the image rights would be going to him. Any of these commercial deals are going to him because Saudi Arabia is just loaded. It's loaded, man. Like, it's oil money at the end of the day. My favorite team, Chelsea. When Roman Abramovich took over, it was a Russian oil company, man. Oh, yes. I'm a fan of a team that had an owner who invested in oil. He bought the club. Not only did he live up to what he said he was going to do, he exceeded it. And I believe Roman Abramovich has set the standard of, if you want to win by buying a club like that and it being as ambitious as they were, when he took over, they won back-to-back league titles. He has two Champions Leagues to his resume, three finals in his resume, two other European Cups under his name, a Club World Cup under his name. Manchester City, it took them until 2023 to win their first Champions League. Their owner came in 2008. It took 15 years for this guy to win a Champions League with Man City, with the amount of money he's invested and all the allegations they've had against them. So yeah, it must have felt good for Man City to slap UEFA in the face saying, "We won the tournament that you didn't want us to win." I'm glad Chelsea stopped him in 2021. But I will say this, if Kylian Mbappe, if he turns down this 1.1 billion, that it could mark her up to be, it shows me where his head really is at. It's like he's so committed to staying in Paris that he doesn't care about the backlash he's gonna get from like the ownership because he's not doing anything wrong. He wants to honor his contract by staying and then going to Madrid. What he really should have done is last year, he should have just left. But PSG stupidly gave him a contract where he has so much say that it got to his head. And the problem that we're having here is that players nowadays are starting to have thinking that they're bigger than the club, Mason Mount. Now, the whole deal with Mason Mount was over image rights. And he didn't feel like he was important enough. Let me be real about Mount here. Chelsea were playing him out of Once when Frank Lampard got sacked the first time, you were able to play Mason Mount in one of those two number eight positions because that's what he really is. He's a box-to-box midfielder. He's not a 10. He's a more offensive number eight, but he's a box-to-box midfielder. He should be playing on either the left side or the right side of a midfield three, and Manchester United, if they do it right, should have him in a midfield three with Bruno and Casemiro. Nothing wrong with that here. My whole thing is we just misused him at Chelsea. Do I think he's gonna pop off at Manchester United? Honestly, I don't think he is because I just believe the form he showed last year is gonna carry over. You see what Kai Havertz is doing. Now, the difference with Kai Havertz is I don't have an issue with him wanting to leave. It's where he went to. You want to think if he would have went to Bayern Munich, if he would have went to Real Madrid, if he would have went to Barcelona, no big deal because you're not going to a domestic rival. All those teams are European rivals, especially Barcelona. But Kai Havertz going to Arsenal, not only is that a slap in the face to Chelsea fans, at the end of the day, Arsenal fans are going to be frustrated with him because he doesn't have a certain position that he plays. You can throw him on the wing, but he's not pacey enough to be going up and down the wing, and he's not tricky enough to be getting past people. You can throw him in the midfield, but he's not physical enough to be in a midfield three with Martin Odegaard and a Declan Rice. When you're going up against the likes of Caicedo, Enzo, Kevin De Bruyne, Casemiro, Rodri, you're not, you need to be physical. Romeo Lavia, you need to be physical, and I don't think Kai Havertz is gonna ever adapt to the Premier League. That's just me. I've heard a lot of other Chelsea fans say that, and I echo their sentiments. Like, Kai Havertz is not him. Yeah, sure, he scored that goal in the Champions League final against Man City, but if you watch it back, if Ederson doesn't get any kind of contact on the ball, that ball is going wide, man. It's going out of bounds because his touch was so heavy. Now, thank God that it did it. Chelsea won it. I'm happy for it. It meant the world to me. But at the end of the day, Arsenal are going to find it really difficult to get behind Kai Havertz, and I think Emile Smith Rowe is going to end up taking that starting spot, or even Thomas Partey because he's staying. If Arsenal have a midfield three of Partey, Odegaard, and Declan Rice, you're not going to worry about that. Midfield is set. You can play Partey deep and have Rice push into that eight position with Odegaard on the right, Rice on the left, and then you'll be fine. Do I want that to happen? No, because I'm a Chelsea fan. I don't want Arsenal to ever do well. But we'll see what they do this year. They're back in the Champions League. I've seen a lot of Arsenal fans saying, "Oh, we'll do the fucking double." No, you're not. You will get out of your group, and that's probably about it. Just to touch on some stuff over Chelsea here, the Moises Caicedo deal and the saga that's going on there. Let me just say this. Enzo Fernandez deserves to have the partner that he's been looking for since he came to Chelsea. Now, a lot of people thought it would be N'Golo Kanté, it would be Mateo Kovacic, Jorginho. Let me just say this now. If you're going to build around Enzo, you need to get the person that is going to be next to him for the next 7, 8 years. And you're looking at Moises Caicedo. Now, he's had 1 year in the Premier League, and everyone's saying, oh, he's better than Declan Rice. He's not better than Declan Rice. Declan Rice has been in the Premier League now. He's going on his fifth or sixth season now. After basically dragging West Ham out of relegation twice in 3 or 4 seasons, helped him win the Conference League. At least another team in Europe has a European trophy, Spurs and Arsenal. Excuse me. Moises Caicedo is the ideal partner for Enzo. The patterns of play, I can see them having the commitment they're going to have to each other is going to be next level for this squad. What I believe Chelsea need to do, and I've heard a lot of people say, don't pay above 80. Don't do it. Why can't we meet in the middle at 90? Or 85 plus 5. Right? Because we play Liverpool in about 18 days. How serious are these owners about backing their manager? Now, Pochettino is somebody that I was clamoring for when Lampard got sacked the first time. Granted, he was at PSG, he was doing what he was doing there. But more than anything, I was like, if I can grab one manager from any club who I believe got done wrong and deserves a second chance, I believe it was Pochettino. And I believe if he would have came to Chelsea, he would be able to win us trophies, get us in and around that title picture. Because if you're able to take a team like Southampton, who is now in the championship, as high as sixth in the Premier League, and you're able to get Spurs within touching distance of a Premier League title, and you get that club to a Champions League final without Harry Kane for most of it, you're doing something right. Beating Man City at the Etihad When VAR was first introduced, man, you're talking about moments with Pochettino. And I believe that he got hard done by at Spurs, and they should have continued to back him, because now you see Spurs fans saying, fuck Pochettino, he's a snake and all this. The ownership let him go. The players didn't want him to leave. I believe the departure of Poch at Spurs started the decline of Dele Alli, which a lot of people probably saw his groundbreaking interview about what he's had to do to deal with. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of stuff that he said that hit me because it hits close to home. You know what I mean? I mean, so I believe that Brighton holding this Moises Caicedo deal is not only affecting Moises emotionally, it's mental, because they're pricing him out of a move. Now, what I believe he needs to actually do is, Chelsea are linked with Kudus from Ajax, who is refusing to train because he wants to leave and he wants to move to Chelsea. Now he is a class act. Caicedo is gonna won't do anything to disrupt the relationship between the board, De Zerbi, the fans, his teammates, and all that. My thing is, how bad do you want the move, bro? How bad do you want this move? Because Enzo's waiting for you, brother. Pochettino is waiting for you. This fan base is waiting for you, man. We watched you at Brighton this past season tear it up. Possibly, if you could make a young 11 of the season, he would be in that midfield. Because Moises Caicedo was probably the best defensive midfielder in the league last season outside of Rodri. And Declan Rice, maybe. But that defensive midfield position is so coveted. Now, is he a six? No, I believe he's an eight, because he wants to be able to advance more. Because when he's on the ball, his cross field passes are next level to me. They aren't talked about enough. Now, when you have pacey wingers like Mitoma, who studies the art of dribbling, and I believe he even has a degree in that. Studies the art of dribbling. And now you're being able, now, I don't know if it's a downgrade or not, but people might say it because of his price tag. Mikhailo Mudryk can benefit significantly with a Moises Caicedo in that midfield. And Nkunku will have more to do on the pitch with Caicedo in that midfield, because you're going to have a destroyer in behind Enzo, or right next to Enzo, that will be able to allow him to unlock his passing range, his vision, and to get him some goals. So, do I believe it does get done? I believe it gets done sometime next week. I believe next week there's going to be a breakthrough. And I believe he will be doing his medical test sometime next week for Chelsea. I believe Brighton, because Brighton need to go into the market and go find a replacement. And with 80 to 90 million possibly coming into their accounts, they should be able to basically go find anybody, because they can offer European football. So that there is a whole domino effect here. Once Moises Caicedo, I believe once he gets signed, Chelsea's other linked players, Shirky, Olise, Kudus, Margehi, all these players, and then possibly getting another goalkeeper, you're going to start seeing a domino effect of players coming into this team, I believe, before the first game against Liverpool. So I believe that once you sign Caicedo, that midfield is set probably for the next, I don't know, 8, 9 years at a minimum, because both of those players aren't going to want to leave. And the South American connection, the fact that they both speak Spanish, it'll be easier for them to communicate. You have a Spanish speaking coach who is going to get the best out of them. I think Chelsea are going to be set up to do something special this season if they can get him through the door. But yeah. Outside of that, a few other things I want to touch on here. The thing with a LeBron James son, my wishes go out to Bronny. I hope he's doing better. I hope he's doing well. Never want to see that. Yeah, I just hope you I just hope that he recovers and he can get back on that court because he has a big future ahead of him. Outside of that, I'll try to get on here more. There's not a lot on my mind right now in terms of other things going on in the world because I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about any of that stuff because that's not what this podcast is for. But yeah, I'll probably come back on next week, see what happened, talk about the roundup there. And yeah, I will talk to you guys soon. This is Jason, and I hope to talk to you guys again.